is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 29, The Ringing Bells. Xiang Qinghua could have spent the past couple weeks at home on Andeng Peak, getting bothered by his scheming disciples, putting out the day-in, day-out fires across the sect, indulgently checking on his beloved nephew and his little sister-in-law and his junior fellow transmigrator, visiting his lovely sister-in-law and her husband for dinner every few days, and sleeping almost every night in the arms of a handsome demon lord. That could have been him. That used to be him. See if he warns anyone of anything in the future. Instead of living the good life, he's been at Jiaohua Temple Sect, forced to attend many important meetings with great masters and sect leaders, all to discuss a grand demon invasion that will threaten the delicate balance between the human and demon realms. Political bullshit and whatever. Sure, Xiang Qinghua knows that lots of people would kill to get in these rooms of discussion. People have killed to get into these rooms of very important people. They would be here with an assassin so fast if Xiang Qinghua so much as hinted that could be a thing for them. But Xiang Qinghua came way too close to killing to get out of this place. So stressful. And somehow, still boring. It's just been him, Yue Qingyuan, and the not-so-modest Chang Ding entourage befitting Changchong Mountain Sect's leader. Xiang Qinghua and Yue Qingyuan still haven't talked about anything personal. Xiang Qinghua kind of hopes they never will. But putting up a united front and then putting up with other sects seems to have brought them closer together again. If Xiang Qinghua had given in to his idea of bringing a flask of emergency wine in his sleeve, they could have made a drinking game or something every time someone managed to casually mention that Jiaohua Temple Sect's barrier techniques were the best in the world. With that face Yue Qingyuan made after the third ear-gouging hour of listening to a long line of Xiaohua experts condescend to them about security measures that will surely stop invading demons in their tracks, Xiang Qinghua would have bet the man could have been talked into it. Big bro would have been down, he's sure. There's only so long any man can listen to someone talk about how totally foolproof or impenetrable anything is. Oh, sure, problem solved. How reassuring. It's not like those arrogant statements are begging to be explosively disproven. But still, hanging out with Yue Qingyuan, even when he's kind of being a bro again, is generally not Xiang Qinghua's idea of a good time. Especially not when constantly in the company of senior Jiaohua masters looking to talk politics. Yue Qingyuan's stuffy assistants, or guards, or servants, or some other nosy asshole. Xiang Qinghua almost missed Shun fucking Qing Chu's company, if only because the man is really good at eviscerating egos and enforcing his privacy. Some of the arrogance and optimism they witnessed really needed popping like a swelled balloon, and Shun Qingqiu lives for that shit. Xiang Qinghua is super glad to finally be going home again. They didn't manage to accomplish canceling the Immortal Alliance conference, yeah, but this wretched author was never really expecting that to happen. Jiaohua Temple Sect is on their guard, at least. That's something. Changchong Mountain Sect has totally accomplished being able to later say, "I told you so, bro." After everything goes to shit, mission success. Yue Qingyuan is apparently just as eager to make it home as Xiang Qinghua is. Their travel pace puts them a full day ahead of schedule, and Yue Qingyuan courteously sends his youngest personal assistant ahead via flying sword to warn the sect. Shun Shushyang and Wei Shushyang will need time to hide the mess from all the parties they've been throwing in our absence, Shang Chenghua jokes. Yue Qingyuan looks at him with polite but concealed bemusement. Never mind. I'll just go check the last report my head disciples sent me again. None of them are expecting the assistant, who flew off with all the energy and eagerness of youth, to return only a little over an hour later. The teenage boy is red in the face and panting for breath. He collapses in front of Yue Qingyuan.
I turned back as soon as I saw in the distance. The sect was on fire! Chengding Peak was on fire!
Yue Qingyuan and Shang Chenghua exchange a look of shock. When Shang Chenghua joked at the beginning of their journey that the sect would probably set itself on fire without them there to do damage control, he really was only joking. He's had way too much of the shit he says coming true on him. The flight back to the Changchong Mountain sect is efficiently desperate. The carriages, unsurprisingly, get ditched, with only a handful of their entourage to look after them. After giving his orders, Yue Qingyuan is like a shooting star, leaving the rest of them in the dust. His guards and Shang Chenghua absolutely failing to keep up with their living legend of a sect leader. Wow, there he goes! Holy shit! So Shang Chenghua arrives back home a little later, surrounded by Chongding guards that Yue Qingyuan doesn't really need. The view of smoke over the Tiangong Range, twisting up from Chongding Peak, does make the heart do a flip. The sort of flip that does not stick the landing, though. The sort of flip that ends in a crunch. Chongding Peak is chaotic when Shang Chenghua lands, but Shang Chenghua immediately recognizes this kind of chaos as the aftermath of the action, which is the kind of chaos he usually specializes in. There are Chun Chao Peak cultivators everywhere, treating disciples from seemingly every peak. A Bai Chan and Qing Jing disciple are hauling water together towards the smoke. A Shan Shu disciple is helping a Chong Ding disciple clear collateral damage out of everyone's path. A Wan Jian disciple is carrying a Zui Xian disciple on piggyback towards the healers. There are also lots of demon corpses. Those are some very dead bodies right there. There are some Bai Chan and Wan Jian cultivators standing guard over the bodies and the demonic-looking weapons everyone else is giving a wide berth. Shang Chenghua squints. Is that Wei Qingwei over there? Shishu! Shang Chenghua turns and gets an armful of nephew. Bingha's arms wrap around him with no care for the bandages around one of them, and Bingha's warm face is buried into his neck. He's so tall now to share his dirt stains. Shang Chenghua has no idea what to do. He wants to hug his very huggable nephew, of course, but in front of so many people, he can't just shove Bingha away either. Luckily, Bingha seems to realize his mistake about 2 seconds after contact and launches away from Shang Chenghua, bowing deeply enough to hide his face completely. Apologies for tripping, Shishu. Shang Chenghua nearly laughs. It's fine, it's fine. This is probably one of the worst kept secrets in the sect anyway. Right on Bingha's heels are some more Qing Jing disciples. Ning Yingying and Ming Fan. Ming Fan is the only one who remembers or bothers to bow. Ning Yingying just dips her head in a funny way and then beams up at him, like his daughter from another life has just firmly decided he's her new favorite person in the world.
Greetings, Shang Shishu. Weren't you away? Did you just get back?
Disciple Ning, Shang Chenghua returns, kind of taken aback by the level of friendliness being directed towards him like a laser beam. It feels like he'll be at risk of sunburn or something if he stands directly in his nephew's friend's blinding smile too long.
Wow.
Yes, and yes again.
What happened here?
Demons invaded the sect,
Ning Yingying informs him far too cheerfully.
I can see that.
Ming Fan makes a hilariously pained expression at this tone-deaf delivery.
Luo Bingha clears his throat and intervenes before his friend can accidentally kill Shang Qinghua with kindness or something.
The demon Sha Hualing and her followers attacked.
Oh, Shang Qinghua says, relaxing a little. Is that all? He thinks. Whew, earlier than I was expecting, but okay.
Everything is fine, Shishu. Ming Fan rushes to add, the cowardly demons who attacked in the sect leader's absence were soundly defeated.
Aha, I can see that too.
The explanation that Shang Qinghua gets is kind of jumbled, because all three of these disciples keep jumping in over each other to explain better. But he gets the gist of it. It helps that he wrote another version of this event in another life. The young demoness, Sha Hualing, and her lackeys attack the sect. Chongding Peak, specifically. Not only did they break through the anti-demon protection surrounding the sect, but they also shattered the Rainbow Bridge on the way in, dropping at least a dozen people on it into serious injuries, to make it difficult to move between peaks. Which is kind of alarming. Shang Qinghua will admit that's pretty alarming now that he lives here and he's not just writing it. How the fuck did they do that? Unfortunately for Sha Hualing and her lackeys, they got more of a response than they anticipated. Shen Qingqiu had been away from Qingjing Peak, but only because the man had been on Qiangding Peak, leading the sect in Yue Qingyuan's absence, torturing senior disciple Qiangding Peak cultivators for funsies, and so on. Liu Qingge might have appeared to be away on a mission, but the man had really been close by, down in Sanqiao Town with his wife, so he'd heard the alarms that went off when the demons attacked and rushed to bring down a war god's wrath. Qi Qingqi had been on the Rainbow Bridge when it broke, leaving on a mission, so she caught herself out of the air and then caught a few falling disciples, then gunned it to the scene once she saw that Mu Qingfeng was already in the air to take over. Shang Qinghua is guessing that Sha Hualing thought that she and her lackeys would be in and out too quickly to meet any peak lords. He's kind of sad he missed seeing her face when Liu Qingge and Qi Qingqi rolled up to back up Shen Qingqiu. To cover her own ass, Sha Hualing claimed that they'd showed up only for a friendly exchange of pointers. Bingha barely manages not to refer to this as bullshit, but Shang Qinghua catches that aborted syllable. And then she proposed a best 2 out of 3 series of one-on-one fights. Despite the fact that Changchong Mountain Sect could have crushed these demons, Shen Qingqiu accepted this deal. Shang Qinghua knows that's what he wrote once upon a time, but now he's not totally sure why, with such an obvious upper hand, Shen Qingqiu wouldn't just find some elegant way of telling Sha Hualing to shove her suggestions up her ass.
Shizun took the first fight, Ming Fan says, his eyes practically shining, nearly shaking with admiration.
No, wait, the kid is actually shaking with admiration. He was incredible. It was like he was toying with the demon. One of those Baichan louts said he was being too sneaky and cowardly, not just taking the demon on head on. But if it was to be an exchange of pointers, of course Shizun would show off uncommon techniques for preserving oneself.
Shizun was drawing it out so Wei Shishu could have more time to fix the barriers,
Luo Bingha interrupts. He said so to the demoness's face after the second fight. Sha Hualing herself stepped up for the second fight, the kids tell him, after the Qingjing Peak Lord embarrassed her follower like that. Sha Hualing talked some shit about the sect, apparently, out of anger after that humiliation. So Liu Qingge was totally ready to step into the ring to teach her some manners, which Ning Yingying reports made Sha Hualing make a funny oh no face. But Shun Qingqiu mused that the fight would be over much too quickly if they let their resident war god beat up a little girl who didn't know what she was doing. Which, Bingha reports, made Xia Huoling make another funny face, this time in outrage. This apparently prompted Liu Mingyan and Luo Fanli to volunteer at the same time. They looked like they were going to argue over it at first, or even fight over it, Luo Bingha says. Qi Shigu and Liu Shishu didn't seem to want to let them fight, but they just ignored them and almost started a quick hand game over who would get to fight. And then the demoness said, she said, she... What? Shang Qinghua asks. Ning Yingying lifts her nose to the sky and declares, she said, if I get a say in this, I want to fight the pretty one in the veil and not the old lady. So rude. Ah, Shang Qinghua says again. That explains the awkward grimace Bingha is making now. Liu Shijie and Luo Shijie froze, and then Luo Shijie just looked at Shizhen and Qi Shigu and Liu Shishu. Ning Yingying continues. Snap! And then it was really quiet. And then Shizhen said, I'll allow it. And Qi Shigu and Liu Shishu and even Liu Shijie didn't say anything. Of course not. Shizhen outranks them, Ming Fan says. As though that has ever honestly mattered to Liu Qingge or Qi Qingqi. So she got to fight the demoness, Luo Bingha says, like it was a foregone conclusion that his stubborn auntie would get what she wanted. Who's surprised about this? Not this long-suffering nephew. Good for her, good for her. How did that go? No one is making expressions like Shang Qinghua's little sister-in-law died, which is really great news. Just super awesome to know. But there's still an awkwardness here that makes Shang Qinghua certain that Liu Qingge can be the poor, unfortunate soul to explain that decision to Luo Jiahui later. Xia Huoling won her original fight against Liu Mingyan, Shang Qinghua recalls, since it came up every now and again during harem drama, and he knows the demoness has been training practically since birth to be a living weapon. Even if she's young now, Xia Huoling is still dangerous, also vindictive, also creatively cruel. Will he have to console his little sister-in-law for losing? Should he prepare gifts to spoil her for suffering humiliating defeat in front of several peak lords? She kicked the demoness's ass! Ning Yingying squeals. Ning Yingying! Ming Fan hisses. Shang Qinghua snorts. Oh, really? It was rough, Luo Bingha says, while Ning Yingying and Ming Fan both turn bright red, realizing what she just said in front of a peak lord. Bingha, however, has totally heard Shang Qinghua say way worse than that. The demoness was really good and really mean, and she kept getting up even after she got slammed into the ground. But eventually she got pinned and had to forfeit to keep her head. Fan Li Shijie is still mostly in one piece. She's over there right now with Mu Shishu and Liu Shishu. Shang Qinghua follows his nephew's finger, then winces. His little sister-in-law looks pretty roughed up. Her face is beginning to swell, and she's got a lot of claw marks. But she's grinning up at Liu Qingge. Liu Qingge looks totally fine, besides some flecks of blood that must belong to other people, and is smiling down at her. Mu Qingfeng looks less than enthusiastic about all this, as he treats Luo Fanli's injuries a victory. Liu Qingge is definitely the one explaining this to Luo Jiahui later. And then, After that second fight, Shizun said that he would have extended the courtesy of a third fight, even though the sect already won two fights, except that enough time had passed that Wei Shixu had repaired the barrier damage, so he would ask them to surrender, so they could be taken captive instead, Luo Bingha explains, because there was no way out for them now. Of course, being demons, they didn't do the reasonable thing. One of Xia Hualing's followers lashed out in panic or anger. An injured Xia Hualing tried to run for it, and then all bets were off. Battle broke out again. Sheng Qingqiu went for Xia Hualing. Unfortunately, one of Xia Hualing's largest and most bloodthirsty followers, instead of running away like the others, went for the injured Luo Fanli for some revenge. But Aluo jumped in before the blow could land. Ning Yingying says, miming a violent attack to punctuate her excitement. She's completely oblivious to the fact that Luo Bingha would apparently prefer she stop talking immediately. Whoosh! There was this great big flash of golden light, and then the demon's weapon fell apart in its hands. Everyone saw it. Everyone stopped for a moment, like, wow, that was just amazing. Aluo, you really have to show us how you did that special barrier technique later.
I don't know how I did it, Luo Bingha says weakly, like he's already had to repeat it too many times.
He looks up at Shang Qinghua beseechingly, but Shang Qinghua has no idea what to do here. This didn't happen in Proud Immortal Demon Way. Was this system interference again? Isn't that a little too obvious? System? Bro?
You broke your own sword doing it, Ming Fan says, way less impressed, but maybe also in the tone of a super jealous teenager. Obviously it was a mistake.
Obviously, Luo Bingha agrees miserably. Shang Qinghua wishes he could hug his nephew properly, tousle those fluffy curls a little, pinch one of those rosy cheeks. Bingha looks so upset at being cast into the confusing mysteries that come with being the protagonist.
The demon was so mad, Ning Yingying continues. It looked like the demon was going to try to tear them apart with his bare hands. Aluo did his best to fend the demon off even without his sword. Ha! Hi-ya! But then Liu Shijie swooped in and cut off his head from behind. Swoosh! Shun Shidi from your peak was running forward, and so was I, and so was Aming, but she beat us all to it. It was so flawless.
That's good, Shang Qinghua says, because he has to say something here that's not just, what the fuck, bro? Good teamwork, everyone. All the demons were defeated then? In short order, Ming Fan assures him, with the lofty confidence of a kid without a scratch on him, who maybe didn't manage to do shit. Shizun captured the demoness, of course, and has taken her to be imprisoned, with Qi Shigu. The sect leader went to go find them as soon as he arrived.
Great! Where did they go?
Ming Fan flounders.
Somewhere the demoness won't escape from?
Shang Qinghua looks at the other two. Ning Yingying looks back at him totally blankly. Luo Bingha just shrugs.
Well, that's not helpful. But Shang Qinghua optimistically presumes that someone around here will soon tell him he's late to that summons from his Shuxiangs that no one actually told him about.
He wishes he could stick around to console his nephew properly. Bingha still looks a little shaken and in need of a loving and wise uncle's guidance. Shang Qinghua is kind of super lost about all these changes to the plot right now, but he can totally fake it until he makes it.
Shang Qinghua also wants to ask about that golden light. He seriously wants to know what the fuck his shitty no-good system thinks it's doing now. But now is not the time or place for airing that kind of laundry. Shang Qinghua sends the Qingjing Peak disciples on their way, though not before giving all three of them some head pats. Because he can't send his nephew off with nothing. And it's not like he doesn't do this to his own disciples occasionally, so it's fine. Ning Yingying seems pleased by this gesture, Ming Fan makes a confused and alarmed expression at being touched. Like, Shangqing Hua managed to hit a secret delete all files button in the kid's brain. I'll, see you around, huh? Shangqing Hua says. Bye, Shishu, Binghe agrees, with a long look and heavy feet. Ah, he's such a tyrant, giving Shangqing Hua such innocent puppy eyes like that. Who gave the protagonist lamb eyes like that? It's really unfair. Wei Qingwei has disappeared, but Liu Qingge and Mu Qingfang are still here. Liu Qingge welcomes him back with a slightly painful clap on the shoulder and informs him that, save the young demoness acting as the leader, all the invaders are dead. Mu Qingfang informs him that they have quite a few severe injuries, but no casualties yet. Just lots and lots of collateral damage, eh? Shangqing Hua says despairingly, eyeing some of the broken buildings and some craters in the ground. He is already mentally and emotionally drawing up the forms to have his people fix all this shit. Those, craters there wouldn't happen to be from anyone here repeatedly slamming a certain demon into the ground, would they? He looks down at Luo Fanli. His little sister-in-law really looks like she went 10 rounds with a giant cat with anger issues. Or Xia Hualing, he guesses. She looks back up at him and says, without shame, I don't know about those, Daga. That could have been anyone. I bet it was that Baichan war god guy. Him again? Ah, when will someone stop that guy? Mu Qingfang actually snorts at this. Liu Qingge just rolls his eyes. Liu Qingge gives Shangqing Hua unsurprising directions for finding the sect leader, the Chongding Peak Dungeons. Changchong Mountain Sect doesn't really keep prisoners, but they still need somewhere to keep people contained before transporting them somewhere else for a trial or, well, an execution. Historically, in earlier generations, that's usually been Huanhua Palace Sect either way. The place is underground and well-fortified. It's a far cry from the open tranquility of most of the sect. It's closed in, lit well enough, but with that artificial flicker. And Shangqing Hua has to pass an intimidating number of whispering guards. A few of these cultivators totally want to deny him entry. Shangqing Hua is well familiar with the I'm kind of freaked out by what's going on and want to be cautious by not letting anyone in expression, and the I'm on a power trip and want to express that I'm superior to this pathetic Lord of Onding Peak expression. But he still outranks them, and so these people have to suck it up and step aside. It's very gratifying. At least until he has to step over a remarkable and very fresh blood splatter. Holy shit, Shangqing Hua mutters. He finds Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu in front of a cell. Inside the cell is a bloody demon girl who looks about 15-ish, 16-ish maybe, with dark hair and many braids, a sharp face and a sharper stare, and clothing that looks like it was made out of not nearly enough silk ribbons. Wow, that's way more skin than Shangqing Hua ever wanted to see of Xia Hualing. No jewelry at all, though. Not even a belt. Not even boots or even slippers. Just lots of blood splatter. Both of Xia Hualing's arms and legs have been restrained. She's also been muzzled. Though that doesn't stop her from showing off her teeth in the least happy-looking smile anyone has ever smiled. There's blood in Xia Hualing's teeth. That's blood there smeared around her mouth. Qi Qingqi is in the cell too, utterly unimpressed, making sure that Xia Hualing is properly restrained, and even treating an injury on the girl's thigh. Demons are pretty tough. Xia Hualing would probably be fine, but Shangqing Hua supposes they can at least be a little kind towards the poor disciple, who will have to mop the floors here later.
So good of you to finally join us,
Shen Qingqiu says to Shangqing Hua, His voice is dry, as usual, but it might be missing its worst sharp edges. The man seemed pleased at having caught himself a demon.
Ah, I didn't want to show up the sect leader with my speed, Shang Cheng Hua replies. That gets an amused look from Yue Qingyuan.
Let us speak elsewhere, he says politely, admonishing everyone to shut up in front of their guest. Qi Shimei?
A moment,
Qi Qingqi says. Oh, don't leave me all alone, Xia Hualing says, only slightly muffled by the muzzle, her eyes going wide and scared. I'll behave. This is really too much. These restraints are hurting me. Please, it's making it hard for me to breathe. Please.
Qi Qingqi ignores her and finishes up her work. Yue Qingyuan lets the Xianxu Peak Lord out and then seals the cell behind her. Shang Cheng Hua is familiar with those seals and, yeah, there's very little chance Xia Hualing is getting out of there on her own. The demoness complains loudly about being left in a cold and lonely cell. Shang Cheng Hua can still hear her wailing as Yue Qingyuan instructs the guards on, mainly not letting anyone in and not taking any of Xia Hualing's bait, no matter what lies she tells. If anyone gets seduced by that teenage girl, a trick pulled many times by the wily Xia Hualing in Proud Immortal Demon Way, Shang Cheng Hua is going to be so disappointed. Surprised? Not really, but still, depressingly disappointed. Upon leaving the dungeons, they meet Yue Qingyuan's first assistant and Liu Mingyan, who, like her brother, is a little blood-splattered, probably from that beheading she performed saving Shang Cheng Hua's nephew and little sister-in-law. But fine. Liu Mingyan bows to the Peak Lords and informs Qi Qingqi that she took the demoness's belongings to Wanjian Peak Lord Wei Qingwei, who has now moved to his personal workshop with the invaders' weapons.
Hopefully no one poisoned themselves moving the weapons,
Qi Qingqi says.
How much faith you have,
Shen Qingqiu comments. Fortunately, it really looks like no one was poisoned, electrocuted, or blew themselves up moving the demon's weapons to Wei Qingwei's workshop. Amazing! When they arrive, Wei Qingwei is inspecting the pieces of a strange-looking spear that does look like it blew up at some point. It has demonic markings all along its shards, plus a cracked crystal as the tip at one end, black and blue in color, gleaming ominously and irregularly, as though it holds another world inside it.
This is the weapon the demoness used to break the barrier and the bridge,
Yue Qingyuan asks Shen Qingqiu, because Wei Qingwei is still engrossed in his study and apparently hasn't even noticed them.
She seemed quite fond of it,
Shen Qingqiu replies. The temperature seems to drop as Shang Cheng Hua comes closer to the table, which gives him a discomforting idea of where that crystal might have originated.
Shang Shidi, do you recognize any of these materials?
Shen Qingqiu asks next, like he's reading Shang Cheng Hua's mind now. He looks so unimpressed by Shang Cheng Hua's startle.
You are, after all, one of our experts on tracking down the source of strange things.
Off the top of my head, I couldn't say. But I would suspect a part of this weapon came from the far north of the demon realm. Wei Qingwei finally looks up.
I would make the same guess, he says.
Like a real bro.
If only this weapon hadn't been broken, we could have tested its limits of disruption. But our plans have been disrupted here. I'd like to see how something like this would go up against the different types of barriers out there.
Zhao Hua temple barriers, perhaps?
Shen Qingqiu suggests. Yue Qingyuan audibly sighs.
Of course they won't wish to see proof that there are demon lords preparing to invade,
Shin Ching-Chu says icily.
How remiss of me to forget that fact. What does it matter if a demon lord's daughter was swinging around a previously unseen weapon like a child's favorite toy?
Ah, please don't tell me we have to turn around right now and go back.
Shang Qinghua realizes in horror.
We just got attacked. We can't leave. Let's make them come to us this time.
Yue Qingyuan looks tempted by that.
I will send a message to sect leader Wu at once and see what arrangements can be made, he says diplomatically. We'll have a demon to show them,
Qi Qingqi says,
provided that there are no more foolish mistakes and we can keep her alive and contained.
Is that why she's that restrained? Shang Qinghua asks, morbidly curious.
I rendered her unconscious, but was forced to defend myself from one of her minions,
Shin Qingqiu says sharply.
Thus, it was left to another to restrain her. They only saw fit to restrain the demoness's arms, and learned their lesson by nearly losing their eye to her toenails when she awoke shortly after.
Ah.
So I saw to it that her legs were restrained as well.
Qi Qingqi returns, just as defensive.
However, on the way to the cell, one of Yue Shixiang's men, in a fit of brilliance, decided to threaten this girl into good behavior.
She didn't like him being nosy,
Wei Qingwei says. Shang Qinghua can see where this is going and winces.
Did she bite his nose?
Wei Qingwei deflates, having his punchline ruined.
Close.
She bit off his nose.
Shin Qingqiu snaps, glaring at Yue Qingyuan, like this is all their sect leader's fault. As though they all aren't cursed with junior martial siblings, and even cultivators from their predecessor's generation who think that they're hot shit, even though the likes of Xia Huoling, holy shit, demon teenage girls are something else, can trivially trick them close enough to her face to bite off their nose. Shang Qinghua can't throw a rock around here without hitting one of these cannon fodder fools. That's life. Noses get bit off. Yeah, Shang Qinghua is going nowhere fucking near that girl. Upon his return to Anding Peak, Shang Qinghua is pleased to see that some of his supply managers and master builders are actually already discussing the repairs to Chengding Peak. At least until these fuckers pounce on him for news and information. No, he doesn't know how much wood and stone they'll need to fix this yet. No, he can't remember the cut of the tiles or the shade of the paint needed. He wasn't paying attention to that. Go send people over there to count that shit themselves. He tells his personal disciples to stay far, far away from Xia Huoling. Also the dead demons and the demonic weapons, but mostly Xia Huoling. The first thing that his head disciple, Lin Wenjiao, says to this is, do I look like I want to lose my nose? She doesn't even welcome him back properly like a filial disciple. She just says stuff like, Shifu, did you see it? Is it really gone? Was it gross? So Shang Qinghua can trust that Changchong Mountain Sect's gossip chain is still functional after that attack. Thank goodness they didn't want to lose that. The only Anding Peak disciple who was anywhere near the chaos of the battle, at least the only Anding Peak disciple Shang Qinghua cares about, was his fellow transmigrator, Shen Yuan, who was hanging out with Fan Li again. Shen Yuan is a little bit dirty and even has a few blood flecks, but he's fine. Qin Xuan assures Shang Qinghua that she has scolded, is scolding, and will scold their littlest shitty up one side and down the other for not immediately running away like a coward, which Shang Qinghua is about 75% sure is a joke. He pats Shen Yuan on the head. I heard you tried to help Bing He and Fan Li, he says. Good job.
Shifu, no!
Chen Xuan moans.
You're going to ruin Anding Peak's reputation at this rate, though,
Zhang Chenghua amends, while his fellow transmigrator scowlingly fixes his ruffled hair.
Maybe learn how to run away so you can live to learn how to fight. Haha. Anyway, thanks for trying. Maybe you'll fix up our terrible reputation someday.
How did the trip go? Shen Yuan demands, probably concerned for the state of the plot. He's so worried that Zhang Chenghua is going to blow it up or something.
Went the way I expected, Zhang Chenghua answers, in hopes that will keep Peerless Cucumber sated until the next update, scheduled for whenever they aren't surrounded by people who aren't transmigrators. Such a pushy fan!
Zhang Chenghua turns this around and asks how Shen Yuan's cultivation is coming along, and all he gets is a fine.
Young people, how about a little give and take here, huh?
Even though he just got back, Zhang Chenghua doesn't get to sit down properly for hours and hours. Someone has to deal with the dead bodies. Someone has to log damage and supply needs. Someone has to figure out what to do about the Zui Xian Peak poultice shipment that fell onto a Kuxing Peak dormitory when the Rainbow Bridge broke, among others. And someone has to redirect and reschedule every other shipment meant to be moved that way until the bridge is fixed. Everyone needs a report about everything, apparently. Zhang Chenghua doesn't do everything personally, but he's responsible for making sure someone does it, and then knowing which person from which peak did it. People helpfully taking problems off his hands without telling him they're doing that is actually really unhelpful. That just ends up in an angry Shixiang going, Zhang Chenghua, where is that important evidence I told you to put away safely? And Zhang Chenghua going, aha, well, it appears to have been stolen. That's not good, huh? Then everyone gets to waste a few hours or days or sometimes weeks searching, running around like chickens with their heads cut off before someone pops back in and goes, oh, I put that away in this other place ages ago. Should I not have done that? It's kind of a miracle that Zhang Chenghua manages not to kill these people. It really is. At least, as this first chaotic week after their return to a foiled invasion passes them by, he gets to leave dealing with the other sects like Xiao Hua Temple Sect to the likes of Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu. Unfortunately, that means they dump most of the other shit on him in return, like helping Wei Qingwei research the demonic weapons, helping Qi Qingqi deal with the care and feeding of Xia Hualing, helping all peak lords get started on improving Changchang Mountain Sect's protections and attack response plans, probably so that Shen Qingqiu can tear apart their ideas later like the mean reality show judge the man can only dream of being in another life. Zhang Chenghua is handling all of this fine, as he always does. He's handling this with as much grace as he can muster. And it's not his problem if he's out of stock. He just privately thinks that he could be handling it better if he had a certain ice demon to chill with at the end of the day. He hasn't seen Mo Bei Jun in nearly a month now, and the man hasn't even left a note to say what he's doing or when he'll be back. It's not that hard to write a note, Zhang Chenghua thinks angrily. He's mostly sure that Mo Bei Jun can write. He's seen the man read, at least, so he can probably write. So he has no excuse leaving Zhang Chenghua hanging like this. Asshole. Zhang Chenghua has enough to worry about. It's distracting. At the end of this hellish week, Zhang Chenghua is at least rewarded with a nice family dinner. His nephew isn't able to be here, but Zhang Chenghua and Liu Qingge cart their little sister-in-law down the mountain for Luo Jiahui's inspection. By this point, Fan Li's injuries are all either healed or healing nicely. Everyone has scrubbed between their toes and behind their ears, with the vigor of criminals with something to hide.
Luo Jiahui still gasps to see her sister roughed up around the edges, and she says, "Oh, Fun Li," in that tone that Chang Qinghua knows his little sister-in-law hates. But Liu Qingge's explanation must have been pretty good, because Luo Jiahui determinedly follows it up with, "I'm glad you got to teach that rude girl a lesson." Zhang Qinghua's sister-in-law is really trying here. He is proud of her. As far as duels with vindictive demons go, being supervised by three peak lords, at least two of whom would have intervened before a death blow, is about as safe as that sort of thing gets. Luo Jiahui looks like she's mentally repeating this to herself all throughout dinner. She apparently can't help but remind Fun Li to set a good example for Bing He and gush a little over Bing He apparently coming to his auntie's defense at the end. But Fun Li is trying too and keeps cool tonight. No arguments break out or anything. No peak lords have to awkwardly throw themselves into the line of fire. So Zhang Qinghua calls the whole thing a win. His sister-in-law is very glad to have him back at the sect and isn't shy about saying it. Zhang Qinghua is just glad to be back, away from intensely serious meeting rooms with stuffy old masters, and not shying about saying it back. Ah, it was almost offensive how many people he missed while he was away. Luo Jiahui has already written her love to Bing He since the demon invasion, but she never runs out of it, so she sends Zhang Qinghua to deliver more in the form of some of Bing He's favorite foods. Zhang Qinghua has to remind her that this is a secret-ish meeting to make up for the fact that Bing He is still a disciple on a relatively tight leash most of the time, and so she doesn't need to and probably shouldn't load him down with enough lovingly wrapped home-cooked food to feed an army. Though he's sure Bing He's fellow disciples will appreciate it. Luo Jiahui sighs. "I just miss him," she admits. "Every day." "I know. Me too." Zhang Qinghua leaves getting Fun Li back to Xianshu Peak to Liu Qingge, with Luo Jiahui making noises about her little sister being welcome to stay the night, and goes to have a secret-ish meeting with his nephew. There really aren't many opportunities to speak privately with Bing He these days, especially not without someone else knowing, unless they make them. It really seems like everything would have been so much easier if Bing He had stayed little forever. Bing He looks lonely in the spot where he'd hidden himself away. The protagonist seems lost in thought, hunched in on himself, and his smile is a little slow to come when he looks up to greet Zhang Qinghua. He puts up with Zhang Qinghua's Luo Jiahui mandated inspection, accepts the food with a softer and more genuine-looking smile, and then buries himself in Zhang Qinghua's arms for long enough that a person might think that this kid has never been hugged in his life. It makes Zhang Qinghua feel like the shittiest person in the world, just a little bit. It turns out that feeling lonely and being homesick doesn't always get better with time alone, he thinks. Sometimes the person just gets used to it. It's not the same thing. They sit together in the darkness, with Bing He leaning against his side. "How are your injuries?" Zhang Qinghua asks again. "Fine," Luo Bing He says, but it's the sort of fine a person says when they're probably not really fine at all. "Shizun said that I was lucky to be alive again. He said Wei Shishu and Mu Shishu found traces of some poison called Without a Cure in the broken pieces of the demon's weapon." Zhang Qinghua coughs. "Shen Qingqiu, bro," he thinks. "There's no need to tell your young disciple something like that. What good does telling him something like that do?" He can't even tell his nephew that it would have been totally fine, even if Bing He had been poisoned, because heavenly demons have a natural immunity to most poisons. And also, the shitty no-good system would probably have thrown a fit to stop it. Although, he doesn't know what the sect would
think about Bingha not dying, so it wouldn't have been totally fine. Holy shit, he's glad that didn't happen.
That's not good, Shang Qinghua says instead, not wanting to imagine his nephew suffering through any of the many bad paths that could have taken. Maybe the application of a rare and deadly poison like that made the weapon too volatile to be any good. Ah, I'm glad that nothing bad happened.
Bingha nods, but doesn't say anything, as Shang Qinghua squeezes his shoulders.
Your mother wants me to tell you again that she's proud of you, Shang Qinghua says, maybe a little desperately. I had to talk her down from loading me down with more than I could carry. Do you think that a tour of Jingjing's kitchens would convince her that they really do feed you?
Bingha laughs and says confidently, no, I don't think so.
Aha, I think you're right.
Shang Qinghua tells his nephew about the dinner he just had with the Luo sisters and Liu Qingge. Luckily, Bingha just laughs and looks wistful upon hearing how it went, rather than looking sad about his uncle accidentally rubbing his absence in his face. Bingha then shares some Qingjing Peak gossip. Ning Yingying has apparently nearly let slip some curse words in front of teachers. She may or may not have accidentally learned these from Bingha, his nephew admits, and Ming Fun is beside himself about it. And they're now all kind of waiting for the day that she fucks up directly in front of Shen Qingqiu. They all know it's going to happen sooner or later. It warms Shang Qinghua's heart to hear that his nephew really does have friends here. Shang Qinghua is in the middle of complaining about some wider sect stuff that he thinks may interest and amuse his nephew, when Bingha says,
Uncle, do you really think it was the without a cure poison that made the weapon break like that?
I told Qi Shimei that it wasn't my fault if... What?
It's just that something like that happened before, remember, Uncle? Bingha presses. With the Skinner demon. That same light and that same warm, almost burning feeling. It was different this time. That weapon wasn't going to hit me. I was blocking it. I know that I was blocking it the right way, but it's too similar, isn't it?
It's very similar, Shang Qinghua agrees slowly. System? Bro, this is your fault, he thinks. Why the fuck are you leaving these explanations to me if you take points off me for any of this, you piece of shit? I'm going to find a way to strangle you. I swear, preemptively, fuck off.
Shang Qinghua lets himself visibly think about it, trying to figure out what the fuck to say here. Bingha looks up at him like he's trying to see into Shang Qinghua's head to watch his thoughts come together. It's a lot of pressure to put on a man all of a sudden. Bingha is too clever to be easily fooled by weak bullshit. How is a man supposed to come up with a decent lie under these circumstances?
Well, it's happened when you've come into contact with demons who are trying to kill you. So it seems like it's some kind of unique reaction between that demonic energy and your spiritual energy, Shang Qinghua says finally. Because it's better than explaining that there's some shitty, no-good, godlike being invested in the predestined plot. Strange things happen sometimes in life-or-death situations, you know. Cultivators can accidentally pull off great feats sometimes, when they're desperate or panicked, without knowing how they did it.
Bingha doesn't look very reassured, which makes sense, because a long-winded way of saying, I don't know, it sounds like a freak accident to me, isn't really reassuring.
That's what Auntie said, Bingha mutters. Don't let her talk you into testing it, Shang Qinghua says quickly. Don't put yourself into danger to try to figure it out either. Your mother would kill me with her tears, you know, if anything happened. Just keep working on your cultivation and building a stable foundation, and maybe things will become clear.
This is really some weak bullshit, Shang Qinghua thinks.
It's not a chi deviation or anything, is it? What? Ming Fan said that it was probably a sign that my cultivation is unstable, Bing He says. He's not right, is he? He took it back, but he insisted that it was possible. Fu Shuqia said that there was apparently nothing wrong with my cultivation as far as she could tell. Should I go to Qianqiao Peak? Shang Qinghua can't really tell his nephew to avoid medical attention on the off chance someone finds out that Luo Bingha is a half-demon. So he tells his nephew that it's good to be a little cautious and to do whatever will make him feel better. Then he goes on for a bit about how lots of people in this world develop strange and unique cultivation techniques. Though he doesn't mention his source of proud immortal demon Wei. Bingha has a bright future ahead of him, and his proud uncle is totally sure that everything will work out. All of it feels like lying. Bingha looks a little comforted by this conclusion, but not satisfied. Thanks, uncle, he says regardless. It makes Zhang Qinghua feel like the shittiest uncle in the world. He'd like to tell Bingha the truth. He'd like to tell his nephew that he's a half-demon and a heavenly demon, too. He's not about to say, hey, did you know that the fate of the world is focused on you here? But he wants to give his nephew something. Anything to stop Bingha from looking so lost and unsure of himself. Except, Shang Qinghua has made the decision to let his nephew sweat for a while in order to keep the system happy with the progression of events. Time is running out on them. Shang Qinghua doesn't want to rock the boat too much now and have his hard-earned points go overboard. If Bingha has to be a little lost, then that's better than being lost in the eternal abyss later, right? Bingha isn't supposed to find out from him. Shang Qinghua doesn't even want to hint about Tian Langjun or Su Xian. Although he's not sure how the Elder Dream Demon is supposed to come creeping around when Xia Hua Ling has been imprisoned. Shun Yuan was the one to point out that Xia Hua Ling was connected to that somehow, though neither of them could remember the exact details of how she was involved. Shang Qinghua is hoping that the Elder Dream Demon comes creeping around to find out what happened anyway, without needing Xia Hua Ling babbling to the demon realm about what happened, so that Luo Bingha can finally find out that he's more than human. Which is a fucked up thing to wish on his nephew, it's true. But this whole situation is fucked up. Thanks for that, system bro, Shang Qinghua thinks, not at all thankful. He's having Peerless Cucumber poke his own transmigration system for details, as they wait to see how this one goes, so they can decide how and when to panic. Bingha sighs again and pulls away. It's late, he says. Uh-huh. Yeah, where does the time go, huh? It's a choice that Shang Qinghua has made here. That's for sure. Three days after Shang Qinghua knowingly leaves his struggling nephew hanging, Xia Huoling breaks out. She breaks out overnight, so he only finds out about it in the morning from a panicked Chongding Peak messenger. Some Baichan Peak and Xi Zhao Peak cultivators are sent looking, of course, and the entire sect goes on high alert, but there's no trail to follow. She's just gone. Shang Qinghua's first instinct is to go back to bed. This is the correct survival instinct, because Qi Qingqi and Shen Qingqiu are both incandescently furious that this has happened. Shang Qinghua could go back to bed and experience less shitty nightmares. Yue Qingyuan just has a, I should know better than to expect bad things not to happen to me, expression about this. Same, big bro, Shang Qinghua thinks. They were expecting visitors from Zhao Hua Temple Sect shortly, so the fact that they've lost the demon they've captured looks really bad. Explaining this to other people is not going to be fun. They still have all the demonic weapons, at least. Wei Qingwei makes the mistake of making this cheerful statement aloud in front of Shen Qingqiu and Qi Qingqi.
Shang Qinghua appreciates the man accidentally taking one for the team. There were two guards with eyes on Xia Hualing's cell at the time, both of whom were badly injured and are currently unconscious and in the hands of Mu Qingfang. No one else saw anyone come or go all night. No one even heard anything. The next shift came in and found downed guards, a cell door taken off its hinges, and the seals bypassed, the restraints broken, and Xia Hualing gone. Zhang Qinghua gets to inspect the damage and thinks, oh, fuck. At the end of the day, Zhang Qinghua leaves his fellow peak lords, Shen Qingqiu, Qi Qingqi, Liu Qingge, and Tang Qingling, arguing in circles over cold trails. And Yue Qingyuan is stuck refereeing, poor bastard. He returns to his leisure house and finds a familiar ice demon lounging in his sitting room, eating some of his snacks. My king, did you help Xia Hualing escape? Zhang Qinghua demands.
She did not contribute,
Mo Beijun answers. Mo Beijun looks good. Like breaking in and out of Changchong Mountain sect last night was no trouble for him. Why would it be any trouble for him? He's been doing it for years and years without getting caught after all. How did you bypass the cell's seals so cleanly? Zhang Qinghua wonders as he puts some papers aside and kicks off his boots. The cell doors hadn't been ripped off its hinges, just taken off like they were never attached, which, combined with the ice-related injuries on the guards, plus the fact that the intruder slipped in like a shadow and left the same way, kind of gave the whole thing away. Mo Beijun raises his eyebrows.
You have shown me many such protections.
Yeah. I guess I did do that. Wow. Sometimes the depth of Zhang Qinghua's treachery surprises even him. If Shen Qingqiu and Qi Qingqi ever find out, he's doomed. Qi Qingqi's chances of accidentally losing a finger just went down a lot, though. That's something. My king, why did you get involved?
Jiu Xiangjun begged my father for this favor,
Mo Beijun explains, sounding displeased to have been made an errand boy in these things.
There was also concern that Xia Hualing would reveal too much to the human sects, so my father commanded her return.
Well, good riddance, Zhang Qinghua decides.
Mo Beijun huffs in amusement. Honestly, having her around was stressful, really stressful. I'm glad she's gone. Good riddance. She bit off a man's nose. Who does that?
She does that.
Yeah, what did he expect? I think he kind of had it coming. Zhang Qinghua ditches the last of his uncomfortable trappings and then goes over to Mo Beijun, who watches him approach, and then, upon Zhang Qinghua's hesitant pause, pulls him down beside him. Mo Beijun is, as ever, cool and solid to the touch in a way that wows Zhang Qinghua every time. It's weird. He carefully leans against the man and then looks up. I mean, who would ever be so foolish as to put their face so close to a demon? There's only one way that's gonna go, right?
Mo Beijun leans in.
My king, please don't bite my nose.
Zhang Qinghua laughs quickly. Mo Beijun snorts, and, with a hand Zhang Qinghua didn't notice reaching up, pinches Zhang Qinghua's cheek instead. It's a quick and chiding gesture.
Eh? Where did that come from? Zhang Qinghua thinks, bewildered.
Mo Beijun then leans in to kiss him, and the conversation stops for a while.
What were they talking about? Zhang Qinghua can't remember and doesn't care. It probably wasn't that important. He hasn't seen Mo Beijun in nearly a month, and they have some time to make up for here.
Later, when the conversation starts up again, after they've reunited pretty extensively, it turns out that the crystal from Xia Hualing's barrier-breaking spear was a gift from Mo Beijun's clan to hers,
The crystals grow around some of the abyssal vents in the far north and can have space-warping properties. They're not durable. They're usually very fragile. But Xia Hua Ling's clan has managed to make them dangerous.
They have many tinkerers who thrive on making all things worse with their touch,
Mo Beijun says, sprawled out over Shang Qinghua's bed like he owns it again.
Poisons, explosives, all weapons of war. They are too clever for their own good. They will use this latest creation to leverage their own power.
Oh, good, Shang Qinghua says, unenthusiastically, lying beside him.
Shang Qinghua's demonstration of this creation has met with approval from many.
What? She got everyone with her killed.
Yet, successfully breached one of the most powerful human sects, and lived when she is only a child,
Mo Beijun says.
This is an acceptable price.
That brat needs better hobbies, Shang Qinghua mutters.
Yes.
She only lived because you saved her.
And now my clan will have first claim to all of Sha Clan's works.
Ah, sure. Keeping her around is asking for trouble, though. Take it from someone who knows.
Yes,
Mo Beijun agrees. Shang Qinghua chooses to look on the bright side of this. With Xia Huoling gone, he doesn't have to worry about her breaking free at any time and going on a face-eating spree. With Xia Huoling gone, he's pretty sure that means he doesn't have to worry about the Elder Dream Demon not showing up sometime soon. That's reassuring. Actually, no. Knowing that's been set in motion is really just going to make him worry more. Shit. This really is a no-win scenario that he's in, huh? There's nothing for it. Thinking of worrying unnecessarily, desperate to change the subject away from the looming plot, Shang Qinghua brings up the very important subject of Mo Beijun possibly, maybe, if he has the time, letting him know when to expect him when he's going somewhere, and when he'll be back. He's brought this up before, though mostly in a, "My king, this humble servant would really appreciate it if you at least learned to knock, but if that's too much to ask, it's fine, it's really fine, never mind, forget I brought it up," kind of way. He only realizes just how daring it sounds after he says it. He's always kind of figured that the proud Mo Beijun would take offense to the concept of being at Shang Qinghua's beck and call in any way. Why would Mo Beijun need to explain himself?
Why?
Mo Beijun even says. Why? Shang Qinghua repeats, kind of hoping that he wouldn't have to explain the things he asks for. Mo Beijun said he could ask for things, but he has to explain himself too? That's really too much. I didn't get to see you at all while I was gone. I got back and I didn't know when I'd get to see you again, my king. This gets him another random pinch to the cheek, but it also gets him another surprising kiss. Mo Beijun is apparently not even a little bit offended by this request, so it's fine. This one thing, at least, is really fine.